Thank you, Jenna. That was beautiful. I just admire your beautiful voice so much. That was awesome. The year was 2006. A man by the name of Michael Stepien in Swissvale, Pennsylvania, was murdered in the act of a mugging. His daughter, Jenny, took the loss very, very hard. Meanwhile, hundreds of miles away, a man by the name of Arthur Thomas, who had been on the wait list for a heart transplant for 16 years, and he knew he wasn't going to see 17. His days were numbered. But luckily, Michael Stepien had signed up to be an organ donor. They determined that it was a perfect match, and they rushed Michael Stepien's heart to New Jersey, where Arthur Thomas was, and Arthur Thomas received this heart and a new lease on his life. Arthur began to communicate with Jenny, just a card every now and again, birthdays, Christmas, sent her flowers on a big occasion. I think it was her graduation from high school. She was a teenager when she lost her father. Earlier this year, Jenny decided to get married. And they picked the date. It was August 6th. Jenny didn't have anybody to walk her down the aisle. And she just got quiet and she thought about it. And she sat down and she wrote a quick note and sent it to Arthur and asked him if he would walk her down the aisle. He received that note and he was so deeply touched. I have the quote. This was what he said on the wedding day. What a greater honor could a person have than walking down the aisle, the daughter of the man who has given his heart to him. I can't imagine a greater honor. There was a video made of when he got off the plane and she and her sister met him at the plane, and she, you know, they'd never met, and she had to say, well, my sister has on, you know, navy blue slacks and a white blouse. I've got on a white dress, and we'll be standing next to each other. And it shows Arthur coming off the plane and, you know, out of the secure area, and they went up to meet him, and it was one of these, you know, kind of awkward moments. It starts with a handshake, and that goes out the window, and they hug. But then as they separated, she reached out and touched his chest. And she could feel her father's heart beating inside of this man. And the tears just came down as she recognized that that part of her father would be there with her on that day. Well, the title of my talk today is Me? Creative? I don't think so. I'm one of those people that just doesn't have that streak of creativity that a lot of people have. But as I started to do my work for this talk, I came to three conclusions. The first, expressing the most of what we are or the best that we can be is our life's purpose. Number two, we all have a creative impulse within us. And number three is, how do we express or regain our lost creativity? How do we use that creativity that we all have? First of all, expressing the most of what we are is our life's purpose. In 12-step programs, there is a saying, let go and let God. And I remember the first time I heard that, it was almost like, I don't know. I had this idea of let go and let God, of being like waving a white flag of surrender. And I wasn't ready to surrender yet. And it was only later, when I got into this teaching and I got into the reading Ernest Holmes and understanding more about this, and it came to me, and my interpretation of let go and let God is for us to get our ego out of the way. As you know, Emerson said, get our bloated nothingness out of the way, and then we can allow that divine current to flow through us. And it is when we are in that place, when we have got that bloated nothingness out of the way, and the divine current is actually moving through us, that we are truly expressing life and truly expressing God and allowing that divine current to go. And I think there's a ghost.
Yeah, no, it's not me, I promise.
The computer in the office just will open, the doors open by itself. Let go and let God. Maybe that's God talking. Ernest Holmes from Creative Living. Lynn already read it, but I'm going to do it again. Every one of us personally has back of us the potential of the universe. There is an irresistible potential pressing against everyone for self-expression. If we listen, we shall hear it. Not as a voice, but as a feeling, as a divine urge to express. If we believe in it, it shall manifest through us, and if we keep our consciousness active and alive to it, the volume that flows through us by our consent will necessarily increase. Not through a voice necessarily, but it's an urge, it's anything. It's when we open up to allow the feeling, should maybe I call Arthur? Should I drop him a note and ask him to walk me down the aisle? Man she'd never met. It's when we open ourselves up to that, that we can allow that to exist in our lives. From Thoughts or Things, Ernest Holmes, written in conjunction with Willis Kinnear. To be creative seems to be a fundamental drive that of necessity must find an outlet in a constructive manner if one is to be a full and complete human being. Expressing the most that we are is our life's purpose. Later on in the same book, a couple pages later, they say, there is always the greater possibility available to you. There is a divine strength and an infinite wisdom at the center of your being, ever waiting to be released. That will enable you to put more into life and living and to take more out of it. A limitless creativity exists and expresses through all that is. It is always seeking a fuller channel of expression through you. Recognize that it exists. It accepts its action in your life. You need to watch sometimes the extent of our creativity and how it goes and the direction that it may take us. There's a story, I don't know if this is true or not, of a minister. He got a new assignment and he went off to his new center, and part of the compensation package is he had a parsonage, and that parsonage happened to be on a farm, and in it he had a horse. He had this great horse, and the horse was really, really smart. So this preacher decided that he was going to be creative, and he was going to teach this horse some new things. So what he did is he taught the horse to respond to verbal commands. And he taught him, you know, giddy up. Instead of giddy up, he taught him, praise the Lord. So every time he'd get on that horse and he'd want to go, he'd say, praise the Lord. And off the horse he'd go. And then he thought, being creative, well, we'll teach him to stop. Instead of saying, whoa, we'll say, hallelujah. So one day he's out riding his new horse and riding along, and a rattlesnake came out and started rattling, and it scared the horse, and the horse reared up and took off. And the horse is running across the prairie right for a big cliff. And there's a huge cliff down there, and the preacher doesn't know what to do, and he's scared, and he forgot all of his commands. He didn't know what to do. He tried everything, He says, and so it is. Nothing. It's all good. Nothing. He even tried Hail Mary. That didn't work either. And then at the last minute, he says, hallelujah. His horse comes to a stop right on the edge of the cliff. He's just right on the edge. And the preacher says, oh, praise the Lord. So you got to watch that creativity. You don't want to. I got my things all messed up here. I think that's an invitation to sit down. Point number two, we all have a creative impulse within. But I believe that that inner creativity that we all have is programmed right out of us. The more we grow, the more we do, the more we tend to lose that inherent creativity that we all have. A study was done. This is a paper that was delivered by Sir Ken Robinson, who is chair of the UK government report on creativity, education, and economy in March of 2005. And this is what the study showed. Out of 1,600 children aged 3 to 5 who were tested, 98% showed that they could think in divergent or nonlinear ways. By the time this group of kids were aged 8 to 10, 32% could think divergently. When the same test was applied to 13 to 15-year-olds, only 10% could think divergently. And when the test was applied to 200,000 25-year-olds, only 2% could think this way. Education is driven by the idea of one answer. That's when we know that there are many answers to many of the things that we pose. And it is when we can look at the different answer, the answer that maybe isn't correct, that we can make those big jumps. Creativity is driven right out of us. Another thing that we tend to judge ourselves on and look at is the approval of others. If we do it well, if we draw really well and people can look at it, we'll get approval. If we have a beautiful voice and we sing, we get approval from others. And what I submit is that we don't need approval from others, because what we already have is the divine urge that's within all of us, that divine creative spark, and it is that creative spark that is inherent within each and every one of us. We already have the approval of the divine creative force of the universe. Who cares what somebody else thinks about your ability to draw or your ability to sing or anything else? Because you are an inspired child of God. You already have the approval of God. We have five examples of that creativity right now in our congregation. These are things that, I mean, I didn't even think about this. These just jumped out to me. These things happen all the time. This coming Wednesday, Carol Losfeld is doing her creative reflections. I don't know if she's here today, but the third Wednesday of every month, we have creative reflections. This is an opportunity for you to come out and experience and express art, poetry, music, and storytelling. You don't have to be able to sing like Jenna. You don't have to be able to draw. You don't have to be a Michelangelo sculptor. It's a chance to come in and express in a way that you can share with everyone else. And we do it at this center the third Wednesday of every month. Gail and her drumming. Gail just got back from some new level of certification. I don't know what all the paperwork went behind it, but what I do know is that when we can attend Gail's drumming sessions, her drumming circles, there brings out a creativity that's in all of us. And Gail is a master facilitator. Thank you, Gail, for allowing that to come out. Every week we get to experience Jenna. Every week we get to see that creative spark flow through Jenna. Not just beautiful things like today, but it happens every single week. And, and you can experience it too by coming at 9 or a little after and joining in our choir, and then you get to have firsthand experience of that. I would invite all of you to do that. Yes. One of our members, she's still a member, moved away to Tennessee, is Etrulia. I don't know if you remember Etrulia or not. She had the two beautiful daughters, Rain and Haley. Etrulia moved away. She went to Tennessee. But I was recently in contact with her. She started practitioner training with the three that just graduated, and she moved before she could finish practitioner training. And I still feel like she was part of the class, and I don't know. I just hold on to things, I guess. Etrulia is an incredible writer. She can really write. And she's working on a book. So what she did is, to get her feet kind of wet, she started a blog. And I don't know if we have it. Yeah, the hotandbuttered.kitchen. Google hotandbuttered.kitchen, and you can see what Etrulia wrote. It is awesome. Going from a life that was very, very limited, a life that had little or no hope, into what she's doing now in her kitchen and food preparation and healthy food, and how she's made this amazing transition to a new and better way of being. And another author that we have that's within our congregation, I say that, he doesn't come all the time because he lives in Idaho now. He used to live in Antioch, and I think he's still coming and going back and forth between the two. And we're so fortunate today. David LeMaster is with us today, and I'd like to invite David up to talk a little bit about his book. Now, his book is finished, and it is complete, and it's done. And so please join me in welcoming David.
Thank you. It's what a long, strange trip it's been. That's all I. I want to thank Reverend Don for inviting me to share my project, my creative project here. And if we had collaborated over years and months, and to get to this one point today for his sermon and that book, we could not have done. I mean, I just want, when listening to what he was saying, I just want to say what he said. That's what he said. That's pretty much it. 5 years ago, I came to the CSL in a state of crisis. My life living in rural Alaska for the past 30 years, working as a biologist, as a medic, and lastly as a high school science teacher, was coming to an end. It was dissolving, as things do. And I was in a state of turmoil, and this place has always been magic when I've stopped in to it. And I, after the service, I asked Reverend Don if he would do a one-minute miracle with me, a treatment on this anxiety I was feeling about this life, because I had this urge, this desire to become a writer, and to all these ideas that had been just festering for decades, wanting out. And I'd been keeping a lid on it pretty good, but they kept wanting out. And so I had this one-minute miracle with Reverend Don, and by the end of it, there was a shift. It was a palatable shift, and I felt a sense of acceptance. You know, I didn't know how it's going to happen. I didn't know how it was going to work, moving out of Alaska, moving down the lower 48, all that. And but that the book that I've written is the result of that shift, I'm convinced, because for 5 years I've been working on it. And I want to kind of little add another bullet point to what Reverend Don was talking about with creativity. What my discovery, and maybe some of you too, is that creativity can be hell. Mm-hmm. when this urge, this fire, this desire to share and to come forth is met by resistance and fear, it's like a plant wanting to sprout, and there's a crust on the ground, and it's trying to push through to the light, and it's having a very difficult time doing that because of the resistance. And that's kind of what I went through with this. And 3 weeks ago, I was, again, lucky to be here when Reverend Veronica was here, and wow. And she gave her story of her, I guess, her hell time when she was going to be a producer in California in the film industry, at 30 years old, you know, going, you know, pedal to the metal, and suddenly illness comes in, and 10 years later, I mean, her life completely changed. Well, it seems like Spirit has an idea sometimes for us, and there has to be a few lane changes. And boy, I could relate to that. And in my book that I've written, and it's a very strange title. I know who wants to read about boredom, but many years ago, actually, I was. I spent 12 years in upper division science classes, biology classes, trying to answer childhood questions of what's life, what is life, and what's the meaning of life. And it took me 12 years to figure this, find out that they don't know. And all they know is about the effects. They know about the effects of life. They didn't really know. But I'd been reading, luckily been reading off and on, Science of Mind, writings, Ernest Holmes, Troward, and others. Anyway, it all kind of came together in a head, by a campfire up in the mountains. I tend to spend a lot of time in the mountains. And trying to rectify, come together with all my science and all the other stuff I've read. And you're going to have to read the book to understand this, but it came down to the one thing I could, the absolute is boredom, is that seemed to be a constant, that seemed to be a definite, that, and it was like a seed crystal, that other things began, the other ideas began to crystallize around it. And you know, what is it? Where does it come from? And why is it that all higher animals exhibit boredom? And if you have any pets, any dogs, I mean, you know the bored look, and you know, they're bored. Or if you've been to the zoo, which, you know, the zoo, the big cats are the, you know, the great apes, and that look of boredom. What is this boredom thing? And anyway, kind of like a long story short, it came to me that could it be boredom is the universe communicating through all life, all of us, that it has a path, it has a desire, or as I call it in my book, I call it the yellow brick road. There's this path, and there's this creative urge to express, to become, to do more. And when we're not on that path, we feel bored. And boredom is like the opposite or antithesis of creativity. You know, anyway, that's kind of the mindset. And so I just wanted to put this together in a written form of kind of talk about boredom and about what it's telling you about this inner urge of the universe, a spirit wanting to manifest and come through, and then also how, not only how to find your yellow brick road, but how to navigate and maintain, stay on it. And I've been a hunter all my life. I've hunted when I was a kid growing up in the farm and up in Alaska, up here, hunting moose and caribou. And it seemed to be a type of hunting, and that's why the stalking came in, is that you're stalking this power and trying to read the signs, and the hunters read signs and signals, you know, follow the game trails, and learning to read those signs and signals. Well, those signs and signals, following those, led me here to this point in time to talk of creativity when Reverend Donnett's topic was created. I mean, it's amazing. And so amazing, in fact, that I really, this is my first talk at a CSL, and I plan to do more and write more books, but I really wanted my wife, who helped me tremendously writing this book. I couldn't have done it without her. If I made her read it one more time, she wasn't going to probably, she was going to divorce me. Well, I had to take her to the airport this morning because she's on her way to Bethel. She's still working in the villages, and I took her to the airport to go to Bethel. And she, on my way here, she calls me. Her plane was canceled, so she got. Anyway, I just want to invite you. She brought me some books too. So I've got some books after the service. I think we can go in here and talk more about this. And I promise, Reverend Don, 5-10 minutes or 5-7 minutes. And but if you want to come in, and I have some books, and we'll talk more about it. But thank you.
Thank you, David.